Welcome, and thank you for joining the National Multiple Sclerosis Society's MS Learn Online Internet Program. I'm Rick Turner, your host and medical correspondent. The use of complementary and alternative therapies in MS is more popular than ever, and the options are extensive. However, just as with conventional treatment, it's extremely important to research any treatment approach you are considering and to speak with your physician about it. Today's webcast is the second of a two-part series entitled Understanding Complementary and Alternative Options in Treating MS. Helping us to better understand this topic is Dr. Dennis Bordet. Dr. Bordet is chair of the Department of Neurology and director of the Multiple Sclerosis Center of Oregon at Oregon Health and Science University in Portland, Oregon. Welcome back to the program, Dr. Bordet.
Thank you, Rick.
A recent study says that 75% of people with MS use some form of complementary or alternative medicine. Is this study representative of your experience? And if so, why do you think that number is so high?
Well, first off, surveys that have been done nationally of the general population indicate that 50 to 75% of people in the United States are trying various complementary and alternative medicine approaches. So people with MS are behaving like the general population. How many are actually trying things depends in part on how you gather the data, what part of the country you're in, but also what you define as complementary and alternative medicine. Here in Oregon, we did a survey of people with multiple sclerosis, and 75% of the people who responded to the survey reported having tried at least one complementary and alternative medicine from a long list that we provided them. So I think an estimate of 50 to 75% is correct, but it's not a whole lot higher than the general population. I think people are trying these things because we don't have all the answers for their MS, that is, traditional physicians. And they're trying to do things for themselves, and they're trying to make their lives better and to improve their quality of life.
Before making the decision to use a complementary or alternative medicine, doctor, what should people know and what should they do?
Rick, I think the two key questions are, is this therapy safe? What's known about the safety? And the second question is, can I afford it? People shouldn't be spending an excessive amount of money trying approaches that are unproven benefit. If somebody's going to try something that is safe and doesn't cost very much money, I think it's very reasonable to try that to see if it improves the quality of one's life. The other thing I would add to it is always be suspicious of something when it is being hyped, when incredible claims are being made about a treatment. So when you hear about somebody who was in a wheelchair for 10 years and they took something and the next day they were up walking, boy, that sure sounds exciting to somebody who's been in a wheelchair for 10 years. But the reality is that would have to be classified as a miracle. No physical treatment is going to allow the nervous system to repair itself in a very short length of time after somebody's been in a wheelchair for 10 years. So if it sounds too good to be true, it is too good to be true. So I'm much happier when people are trying things like, say, yoga, where people are saying, it provides me with benefit, but they're not making excessive claims. You can go to a yoga class for not very much money. It's something you can do at home. It's safe. And then I am in them spending $200, $300, $400, $500 on an unproven treatment that somebody is hyping on the web and with anecdotal stories.
What are some opposing arguments in using complementary or alternative medicine?
It's interesting, in our survey of Oregonians, only 6% of them who were using complementary and alternative medicines told their neurologist about this. Only 6%. And I think that's because too often when people share what they're doing with their neurologists, they're confronted by either blank stares or negative comments or statements that they really shouldn't be doing this or you're wasting your time and money. The bottom line for neurologists should be that we are trying to work with people with MS to improve their lives, to improve their quality of life. So if somebody is taking a safe, inexpensive dietary supplement and they makes them feel better and they feel better, then I find it difficult to see the rationale for a neurologist telling them that they shouldn't be doing that. We as neurologists need to have an open dialogue with our patients so that when they maybe are going to be trying something that is excessively expensive or potentially dangerous, they'll listen to us. So if I tell somebody, you know, don't do yoga, it's worthless, don't follow a low-fat diet, it's worthless, people aren't going to listen to me when I tell them don't do bee sting therapy because it's a toxin. So we need to have more of an openness to what people are trying and help guide them by being more favorable and more a positive, particularly about things that are low cost and safe and people are saying, you know, make me feel better.
Is there a chance that a complementary or alternative medicine could lessen the effect or even be dangerous when taken with a medicine prescribed by a doctor?
Well, that's an excellent question. I think particularly when we're talking about herbal supplements, there are potential problems. I'll give you one example. Ginkgo biloba, which we've studied as a way to improve cognitive performance, also has a very mild blood thinning effect. It affects the platelets, or the part of the blood clotting elements of the blood. And if a patient is taking ginkgo biloba and they're taking another blood thinner that's prescribed by their physician, say Coumadin, the ginkgo biloba might interact with the Coumadin and might lead to some bleeding problems. And in fact, in some elderly patient populations, there have been reports of apparent bleeding problems related to a combination of blood thinner and ginkgo biloba. Unfortunately, the herbal supplements have not been well studied in terms of their interactions with other drugs. So we need more information about that. But then that again puts a premium on there being an open dialogue between physicians and patients. So if I'm prescribing prescription medicines and my patient is taking a variety of herbal supplements but doesn't tell me about it because when they told me about something before, I rolled my eyes, or because I don't ask them about it, then if there's a problem that pops up with the medication that's unexpected, I won't have that bit of information that would allow me to say, well, maybe there is an interaction going on between the herbs and the medicines I'm prescribing. But I also want to say something else, and that is that some alternative medicine practitioners, not all, but some, think that it's an either or. You know, either you follow my approach and don't take your beta interferon or your glutamine acetate or the prescription medicines that the physician has advised you to take, or I won't work with you. I think most of these approaches work best as complementary therapy. That is, they're used in addition to treatments that the traditional physicians and neurologists have to offer. But be suspicious of an alternative medicine practitioner that forces you to say either you follow my approach and don't take those medicines the MDs are prescribing for you, or I won't work with you. They should be working in tandem and in concert with the traditional physicians.
Can you list specific complementary or alternative medicines that may truly have benefit for some MS symptoms or the disease itself?
This is an area where we really need to be doing more research, because for me to say something truly has benefit means that there's at least some well-designed clinical research study that's shown benefit. Without that, as a physician, I don't feel comfortable saying, well, this has truly been beneficial. I can state an opinion as to, well, this sounds like it's safe, it's reasonably priced, and I've had other of my patients report that they derived a benefit from it. So we have a real paucity of scientific data on any of these approaches. Now, I do think that we have some data now on yoga. It can be done safely as long as some of the poses are modified for people with MS who have balance problems or weakness. And we also have data that indicates that it improves fatigue. So yoga is one complementary and alternative approach for which there's at least one well-designed clinical trial showing some benefit. You already mentioned the trial we did of ginkgo biloba. We used a standard scientific research paradigm for studying that, double-blind, placebo-controlled, just like if we were studying a drug. And at the end of the day, it looked like there was some benefit to that. But the bottom line is we don't have good research on many of these approaches that allows me to say, well, I'm absolutely convinced this is beneficial.
Doctor, the placebo effect can be present when using complementary or alternative medicine. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely. Of course, there are placebo effects present with anything that I prescribe with my prescription pad as well. Placebo effects are very interesting because they're not something that's in the imagination. I think both physicians and patients don't understand that placebo effects are physiologic. There are physical changes that occur with placebos, so that the so-called placebo effect is actually inducing a physical changes that can be beneficial. So as a physician, I want to use the placebo effect to get an additive response to any treatment that I do. So I think it's important if I'm prescribing a medication or if I'm suggesting somebody go on an exercise program like yoga, that I convey to my patient my honest and sincere belief that that's going to be beneficial for them. Because if they believe it's going to be beneficial, they're going to derive more of a benefit than if they go into it thinking, oh, this might work, but I bet you it won't. So the placebo effect, yes, it's part of the effect of complementary and alternative medicine, but it's part of the effect of any medicine that I prescribe. It's part of the effect of going and seeing a doctor that has a positive attitude that makes you feel better about how things are going as well. I mean, that's a placebo effect too. Should also mention that on that note, you can have a negative placebo effect. What's that? Well, that's where you develop side effects from taking a placebo. So in all the trials that are done of drugs, when people go into a research study, there's a long list of potential side effects. Now, those are the side effects of the medicine, but in those trials, a certain percentage of people taking the placebo will develop those side effects, so they're having a negative placebo effect. So I think that there are some physicians who can actually induce a negative placebo effect based upon their attitudes.
What are some red flags or things to be on the lookout for when using an alternative approach to treating MS?
I think people with MS need to look on complementary and alternative medicine as part of their life plan for dealing with MS. Not the only thing that they're doing, but part of their life plan. Our goal, my goal when working with people with MS, is to help them live the fullest, healthiest possible lives that they can. Some of that's going to include things that I prescribe and recommend. A lot of things that are going to be beneficial for people are things they're going to be doing on their own. Having a positive attitude, avoiding harmful habits like smoking, following a healthy diet, exercising regularly, being involved in life, and not having concern and worry about MS consume them. And as they try to lead a fuller and healthier life, part of that may well include exploring certain complementary and alternative approaches. And I think that that's good, given the caveats I gave earlier with regards to safety and expense. I also think that people with MS deserve to have a physician that's concerned about them as people, concerned about encouraging them in living a full, rich, and healthy life, and is open to at least discussing some of these complementary and alternative approaches rather than just saying that this is worthless or taking a blanket negative attitude towards things. Our goal is really to be a health advisor, if you will, to people with MS to help them live the fullest and best lives they possibly can.
Well, that's all the time we have, Dr. Bordet. I want to thank you again for helping us to better understand complementary and alternative therapies.
You're welcome, Rick. It's been a great pleasure.
The National MS Society is proud to be a source of information for you about multiple sclerosis. Our comments are based on professional advice, published experience, and expert opinion, but do not represent individual therapeutic recommendation or prescription. For specific information and advice, consult a qualified physician. If you have a question that was not addressed, please email us at mslearnonline@nmss.org. If you'd like more information on multiple sclerosis, click on the resources link on your screen or call the chapter nearest you for an answer to your question. You can reach your chapter by calling 1-800-FIGHT-MS. That's 1-800-344-4867. You may also want to check the National MS Society's website, where you'll find more information about today's topic and a menu of other webcasts available to participate in. Funding for this program was provided as an unrestricted educational grant from these National MS Society chapters. For the National MS Society, I'm Rick Turner, wishing you health and happiness.